Good morning and welcome to St. Swithin's Worship for the second Sunday after Trinity. Richard is preaching for us in this worship service today, and he is looking at God's story in context. An important aspect of living our faith is trying to understand God's story as best we can and not to avoid any of the tricky bits. Today Richard is looking at one of these tricky bits head on. As we look at our lives and our own stories, we can place our stories into God's story of faith, hope, and love. The greeting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The opening prayer response. This day, God of hope, may we dream your dreams. This day, God of love, may we reflect your love. This day, God of justice,
may we do your work.
This day, God of peace,
may we taste your peace. As we prepare to say sorry to God, let us take a moment of quiet to recall our behaviour, our relationships, our attitudes over the past few days. What do we need to repent of? What have we ignored or stayed silent about that we should say sorry for? We are sorry for those times we have abused our power to oppress others. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For those times we have talked and not listened. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
For those times we have ignored injustice. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. We know that God forgives us when we say sorry. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by the Spirit, and raise us to new life in the risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Knowing that we are forgiven, we can glorify God. Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to all people on earth.
We have tried many different glorias over the time, and today we will sing one of our absolute favourite hymns at St. Swithin's, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifoldness, to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endure. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today let's hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine, with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let us pray. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, deepen our faithfulness to you and to your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Liturgy of the Word. All-loving God, we give you thanks for your holy word. Give us open hearts and minds. Give us willingness to be changed by our reading and make us hungry for new truths. Help us to be generous with those who interpret the Bible differently and save us from cold certainty. Amen. A reading from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be the members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Loving God, help us to hear your word, and may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever heard someone say that there is an elephant in the room? It's the idea that while people carry on talking about the things that seem important to them, there's something so much bigger that they're ignoring. It's like being in a room with an elephant and trying to pretend it isn't there. Juliet will tell you that I like exaggerations and exaggerated images, so I really like the concept of this illustration of an elephant in the room. I have a feeling that Jesus would have liked it too. He used exaggerated images a lot to get his point across. He talked about people with planks of wood in their eye, people swallowing camels, that sort of thing. I thought about the elephant in the room when I read the gospel passage for today. How can I start to think about what God wants to say to us in this passage? The passage is about being good disciples for Jesus, but there's an elephant in the room. Right at the beginning of the reading, Matthew 10, verse 24, the issue of slavery is mentioned as if it's entirely normal. How can you get past that? How can I begin to talk about what Jesus is saying to us here when there's that elephant in the room? Just as we've been reawakening to the issues of racism and division, just as we've been hoping for a new start where black lives really do matter, just as we've been turning a corner as a country and within the church, why is it now that I get to preach on a passage of the New Testament which mentions slavery, an issue at the very root of racial division to this very day? Slavery is evil. It's wrong for one person to own another person. Now, people argue in favour of various moral issues, but no one's trying to argue in favour of slavery. The issue is clear-cut. Slavery is wrong. And that brings up a problem for readers of the New Testament. Why is slavery mentioned in several places and not once condemned or even questioned? Why is this moral problem for us not a moral problem for the authors of the New Testament? That's the elephant in the room. Well, I think it's important that we don't just ignore problems like this when we read the Bible. Some people find the fact that the Gospels mention slavery in such a matter-of-fact way, they find it so distasteful that they're put off finding out anything more about Jesus. If we're to help people like this discover the good news of God's love for them, we need to work out what we think about the problem. We really don't need to just ignore it. Well, I said that slavery is mentioned in the Bible in a matter-of-fact way. And that's because for people of biblical times, slavery was a matter of everyday life. It's estimated that in the city of Rome at the time of Jesus, about one-third of the population would have been slaves. People became enslaved as a result of being taken captive during wars, but others voluntarily became slaves for the sake of education or social status. Slaves had some legal rights in Rome, and also in the Old Testament laws, and it was relatively common for slaves to be able to be free. Perhaps most importantly for our thinking today, slavery at that time was not generally based on racial prejudice. However, slaves were undoubtedly owned, one by a master, and they had very few personal freedoms. They were subject to abuse of all kinds and were often treated very harshly. So we might still ask why it was that Jesus didn't condemn slavery rather than mention it as a fact of life. And perhaps it would have been helpful if he had spoken out in that way. What Jesus did do was to speak to the culture and social norms of his day. It didn't offend anyone then, because slavery was part of normal life. It was as though people had a moral blind spot preventing them from recognising slavery as a problem. I wonder what people in 2,000 years' time will look back at our society and recognise as a terrible evil going on unnoticed. I wonder where are our moral blind spots. Perhaps in 2,000 years' time, people will wonder why we treated non-human animals without rights. Perhaps they will wonder why we turned a blind eye for so long to pollution and global warming. Or maybe people of the future will wonder why people in our time spent so much time and money on making devices to kill one another. So when Jesus spoke about slavery in his stories, I don't think we should interpret this as his approval of the concept of slavery. In fact, that wouldn't really make sense considering Jesus' principal teaching about a new way of living based on love and closeness to God. After all, Jesus spoke of bringing release to captives and freedom for the oppressed. That's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The message of Jesus very quickly broke down the barriers between slaves and their owners. In the young church of the New Testament, it's clear that slaves and their owners were equal members of God's family. It was possible for slaves to become elders and leaders in the church. It sounds strange to us because we recognise the concept of slavery as horrific. And yet, in a way, it should also not sound strange to us because we recognise the same teaching that all are indeed equal in the sight of God. The institution of slavery in the days of Jesus did not stand in the way of the love of God breaking down barriers and welcoming all into fellowship. It's a terrible fact that centuries later, the acceptance of slavery as normal in the time of Jesus was used as an argument to justify the industrial scale and racially motivated transportation and enslavement of countless black African people. We should be clear that such a distortion of the teaching of Jesus was and is evil. Thankfully, the movement that eventually brought an end to that form of slavery was led by people who believed in and lived out the love of God in their lives. The part of the Gospel of Matthew from which we read today is about the task that Christians engage in as we follow Jesus' command to establish the kingdom of God. It recognises that the task is hard and often scary. When Jesus talked about slaves not being above their master, he was making the point that when his own teaching was maligned as being evil, the disciples would be seen as evil too. It's not easy to be a Christian in our world. Jesus told his followers that there will be opposition, but he also told them that people who believe in and live out the love of God in their lives are precious in God's sight, known by God and cherished by Jesus. We are known intimately and loved totally. To make this point, Jesus used another familiar illustration from the time, the image of sparrows being sold. These were not for food, but they were a way for the poorest people in society to make sacrifices in the temple. Like the concept of slaves at the time, this is another illustration that seems worlds away from our experience today. We know about sparrows, but selling them to be killed as sacrifices is strange to us. Even a bit creepy. What I'm trying to say is that when we read the Bible, we should think about the sayings, stories, and ideas that we read, and we should think about what they meant to the people at the time. Often the meaning is as clear to us as it would have been then, but sometimes it's worth looking into how the people of that time would have understood it. If Jesus were teaching today, I'm sure he would pick different illustrations for his parables and sayings, and I bet he would use the elephant in the room, for example. He might also have a great new illustration for the story we call the Good Samaritan. I wonder how many people would have passed by the injured white protester at last week's clashes in London. The black man who scooped him up and carried him to safety was likely to be his natural enemy. The photograph of this event has rightly been seen all over the world as a sign of hope, a story to make you think of demonstrating kindness and being a good neighbour, a story just like the Good Samaritan. When Jesus told his followers about those sparrows, he wanted his hearers to know that each of them was known to God. This is something that we, like them, can begin to grasp right here and now. God's love and care for every one of us is unending, enduring, and unconquerable. That is our message, and that is our comfort as we build the kingdom in our world. Amen.
Profession of faith. We remember that we are joined together as a family despite not being able to meet in person at the moment. Our faith holds us all, whoever we are, however we come to God.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, help us to remember that your love is powerful, that you love us as a father. Guide all leaders who hold the most power in our world, and help us all to use whatever power we have to bring justice, peace, and hope to our world and our lives. We pray especially today for our global neighbours most affected by Black Lives Matter, coronavirus, and poverty. Today on Father's Day, we give thanks for all in our world who care for others. We also hold before you all those who have complicated and broken relationships. Heal our divisions and bring us perfect peace. God of glory,
grant us your peace.
Loving God, we pray for the church, for all those who lead us, for St. Swithin's and all who are enabling the gospel to be lived and proclaimed in Hither Green. We pray especially for all groups unable to meet and those in our wider church community who are feeling isolated and lonely. In courage and gentleness, may our church use its influence wisely for the flourishing of the gospel. God of glory,
grant us your peace.
Loving God, we pray for our community, for those who live and work in our parish. Especially today, we pray for those in our neighbourhood who are struggling without the resources they need, and for those anxious about the future. We remember those continuing to volunteer to support those in need in our area, and especially for Lewisham Local and those helping their operation. May we all remember to serve you with our time as well as our resources. God of glory,
grant us your peace.
Loving God, we pray for those who are in particular need, for the brokenhearted and the broken-spirited, for those who are unwell or anxious about the health of their loved ones, for those who are deeply affected by the isolation and concerns of physical distancing. We especially remember today Rossi and family, Tanisha, Talabi, Kevin, Elizabeth and family, Ivy, John, Lena, Shanette, Susan, Margaret, Sydney, Edith, Vanda, Lorna, Ina, Stephen, and all others who we know who are in need of our prayers. Bring them healing and wholeness, and help us to care for others. God of glory,
grant us your peace.
Loving God, we thank you that you call us out of death into life, which is eternal. We remember before you today all those who have died recently. Oscar, Kissy, Deborah, George, John and Roy, and all who we have loved and who are now no longer on earth. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord,
and let light perpetual shine upon them.
Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Rejoicing in God's new creation, we pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Who could you share God's peace with? Spend some time planning a deliberate act of peace. The blessing. May God bless us. May God keep us in the Spirit's care and lead our lives with love. May Christ's warm welcome shine from our hearts and Christ's own peace prevail through this and every day. May the God of love, Creator, Friend and Spirit, be among us and remain with us always.
Amen. Open our eyes and ears to show us where love and hope and faith are needed. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
And the notices. The PCC met last week, and one of the items on the agenda was how we are going to open the church for private prayers, and we've decided to do this on an hour, on a Wednesday, an hour on a Saturday, beginning on July the 1st, to give us time to get the church ready according to government and church guidelines for the safest way that we can achieve this. In the absence of food bank collections, don't forget to make donations to the Trussell Trust online. And of course, if you know anyone who needs any help, please let me know so that we can support them. And happy birthday to anyone whose birthday has been recently. Alan, whose name is Alan Johan, is celebrating his name day on the 24th of June, which is the feast of the birth of St. John the Baptist. Johan being John in Alan's language. That means that it is only 6 months until Christmas Eve, because John the Baptist is always 6 months ahead of Christmas. So we're already counting down to Christmas. I bet you're really pleased to hear that, aren't you, Richard?
Yay.
Shall we sing happy birthday to any who've had their birthday recently? You ready?
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May the Lord bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And have a good and blessed week, everyone.